With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so get the details over at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time to chill and grab the perfect refreshment. Coors Light. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to Best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. So go sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, welcome back, D-Gens, for this recap of an incredible PGA Championship. And we'll touch on some Colonial, too. It's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, how incredible was today, man?
That was one of the best majors I've ever seen. I mean, it was weird at the beginning. Like, they kept, like, trying to give it away. There was, like, good shots, and then just, like mind-numbingly just stupid boneheaded moves by both Phil and, like, Louis and, like, Brooks and everything. But, I mean, just – I don't think there was a moment I thought last night coming into today where Phil's actually going to hang on to this thing. Like, he's 50. Like, that's a cute story. But, no, Phil Mickelson, 50 years old, second top 20 in the last 15 months, by the way.
That's so crazy. And he comes champion. Out and wins this thing. Insane, yeah, man. Insane. Yeah, you're right, man. Like, the beginning was awesome. Like, all those lead changes. There was, four two-shot swings. Like, and poor Louis couldn't buy a goddamn putt, man. Like, he could not buy a putt. I felt bad for Louis. And then, of course, the water bottle on 12. That's gonna haunt his fucking dreams.
I know. I mean, there's so many shots I think he wish he could take back. Like, all those putts yesterday. Like, didn't he miss like an 18 incher?
Oh yeah,
on seven or something. Yeah, and then he put it in the water on 10 or 11, one of those holes. And then another water ball today. Oh. Bad putting, like that's tough. So I mean, how many runners up did Louis have now in majors?
Oh, it's got to be six. It's got to be six.
I know he's got the grand slam of runner finishes because you posted that video of like after Bellerive, he did that. Yeah. Now that adds another one. Yep. So.
Yeah, he's I think it's at least six, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean he's been close a lot. So, but I mean we both kind of liked him. For whatever reason, I had 0.0 shares on Louis even though I liked him a lot this week. I'm like, "Yeah, I went on the SGP show. I'm like, "Yeah, he's a poor man's Reed." Yeah. I love Reed this week. Why did I do anything with Louis? Why didn't I do a top 10 or anything? Cuz, you know. Sometimes I'm dumb.
Yeah, it happens. But, listen, with as many bets as we go through and dig into and as much action as we have going, especially on a friggin' major week, you're going to overlook some guys because we do a lot.
No, we did. We'll talk about some bets we did. I was very busy this weekend.
Yes, you were.
But yeah, I mean, back to Phil, though. Like, so I had a buddy over and I asked him a question. I said, is this better? Where is this rank compared to 2019 Tiger Woods when he won? Is it better? Is it the same? Is it worse? I don't know. What's your take before I get into my little spiel there?
So I think it's the same, man. I do. I don't think it's better, right? It's tough to beat Tiger at the Masters and how pumped everybody was for it. But I mean, look at how everybody was hugging that dude and like everybody was making sure they came out and like were going out of their way to. Phil just seems like a guy who pretty much everybody loves, right? Like he's become pop. He's been become popular with the younger generation of golf fans with all his fireside chats and like hitting bombs and all his like tweets and stuff. So yeah, man. And I mean, just, and I know we talked about it in the Slack channel. I know you hate the fans being back, but bro, there's no way it's that cool without fans. Like that was such an, like, I loved that scene, man. Like I absolutely loved it. Like I got chills. I was pumped. Like you could feel the energy. You know what I mean? Like, especially coming off this past year where there was no fans and anything, like, I don't know. It felt really special to me. I think it's right up there with Tiger.
Listen, I mean, if they took everyone's cell phone away, I think it would have been a little better with the fans. Yeah, but I agree. That was really great. The fans did provide the energy there. Like seeing like everybody swarm around. Swarming. Like I made a joke, but I was half kidding. I'm like, are they going to storm the court here?
Like, yeah, for real. I thought they were going to.
Thought they were too, but no, that was a big win for me. I think it's up there with Tiger too. Like Tiger's, I think, was just like, that was different. Like Phil doesn't have like the emotional scars, the bad wounds of Tiger had, like all the injuries. Like there wasn't a point where we thought Phil's career was just like over. Yeah. And then Tiger won. But this is like, he's 50 years old. I don't think we're ever going to see a 50 year old win a major again. Like
Was it Watson? Was he 58?
Watson was 59. You know, poor Stuart Sink goes down the little history of just, you know, no one ever remembers who won the 2009 Open. They just remember, it's, you know, Tom Watson lost it. But yeah. I mean, the fact that 50-year-old Phil Mickelson won on Kiawa.
Kiawa. Oh, my God.
Yeah. One of the hardest golf courses in America that just embarrassed people this week, too. And here comes Phil Mickelson, who, like, we joke about, like, you know, hit bombs, can't hit a fairway, like, scrambling's not as good anymore, and he was great, you know. So, I mean, props to him. Awesome. I gave you a nice little compliment last night about Brooks, even though it didn't
pan out.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame myself on that. I don't blame you. I blame everybody in all these articles that I read today, and they said, yeah, Brooks is winning.
Yeah, dude, I was like, God damn it. Everything I was reading this morning before I got on the road, I was like, stop it. What are you doing? You're mushing this. Everyone is mushing this. But
I know. And they all did. And Brooks is bad today.
So, I don't, man, he was trading punches. You know what I mean? Like, he was bad in some spots and he was nails in other spots. You know what I mean?
Bad. After the sixth hole, he was bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, that second hole, that was stinky.
Oh, it's really stinky. Yes, it was.
I mean, hit the tree, punch out, blast over the green.
Yeah. Dude, those greens weren't holding a lot today, though. Like, I mean, even Phil's on 17, like, that shit fucked up.
No, they weren't. But, I mean, that was air mat. Like, he picked the wrong club. I mean, it just, that wasn't good. And then, you know, all the way to the back nine, he had, like, opportunities where, like, he was in the fairway. He just kept dumping it, like, short in the bunkers.
Yeah, he seems left a lot today.
Yeah, he was left. He missed that short putt on 3-2. Oh, like, that wasn't good. He putted like crap.
That was a fucking 3-footer. Yeah, I think he was through like 10 holes and he lost like 2.5 strokes putting.
Right. But, I mean, I am going to come away with this as I'm going to learn a lesson. Because I said the same exact things about Brooks after Torrey. Right. I'm like, he's done, like this, these injured, this doesn't look right, and he went up one Phoenix, and then I said the same thing last week. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna put a top 10 bet on him, like, just in case, which, you know,
exactly.
But I mean, as soon as I saw on Thursday he looked up, I'm like, all right, how can I lie about this quick? And I still got a good number, but you had him at 50, I had 22. I mean, listen, like, we should never, the lesson is, like, if Brooks goes out after a layoff and just puts up a stink bomb, don't worry about it. It's shake out the rust week and then just get back on the next week. So, like, every time, like, people start saying he's done, he's, like, you know, cooked, it's Brooks Koepka. Like, he's going to reach out, he's going to find it. And he came up short today, but, I mean, we'll probably end up – we have 3 weeks till Torrey. Yep. That's another golf course that is going to play firm, fast, difficult. A lot of same things I think at Kiawa are going to play there. Yeah. So he's definitely one to watch. So do you have anything else on Louis you want to touch on? Or do you want to go right to the DFS report card where you break down the field? And
Yeah. Let's
What? Hold on. Why don't you I'm sure there's people you want to put on a boat. There's a lot of people I think pissed you off this week.
Yeah, there was. So, Webb Simpson really pissed me off. Like, you want to talk about a dude who didn't nut up and show up. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, What was that? That was terrible. He was lucky to make the cut on the number at plus five. That was a gift.
Well, so I think this is something I'll come away from this tournament too. I said that he checked every single box, but yeah. Who's Webb Simpson? Webb Simpson eats up Heritage, beats up Wyndham. And I'm really expecting him to come to Kiowa, this tough, demanding golf course, a lot of wind, and do well. That's on me. That's my fault there.
Well, but his record at majors. I mean, he had like five top fives or top tens in a row. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like,
but that was at the Masters? Well, I mean, Wingfoot, I'll give him that. But I mean, kind of like everybody was blowing up. He kind of just like survived that.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I think the move with Webb now is just like, if you like him, just do top 10.
Yeah.
Don't go deep in outrights like I did. Like, that's just, I think you're just throwing in what your money away. And like, even like I always like kind of like him at like the Open Championship too.
Yeah.
And that's like a, you know, this was like a Lynxy golf course that he never does well over there either.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just not tough. I don't know.
Yeah, he might not be. I mean, yeah, I mean, you don't look at Webb Simpson and think immediately tough. And then, right. And like, whatever. Like, Sam Burns burned me on a matchup, right?
That was brutal.
I mean, what the, like, listen, I don't care how bad you're playing. It's a bad look to just win a tournament and be playing good and everybody talking about you. And then you're playing like shit, so you take your clubs and you go home. I hate that shit.
He better be really hurt.
Yeah, because
I mean, which hopefully he is, and he's a talented player, but right. That's a bad look.
I hate when golfers do that, man. Just take your medicine. And you know what? If you want to withdraw overnight, like, fine, withdraw overnight. Like, you shoot up a 12. Don't walk off the golf course. One, you're screwing your two partners, right? Because now their ebbs and flows are going to be a lot different. Granted, the course played like a snail's pace all fucking weekend anyway. But like, you're screwing those two guys that you're with, and it's a bad look for you, man. So he's on a boat, man. Like, he'll have to do something to get back in my good graces for that. Like, I hate that shit, man. That's some baby shit.
I had 0.0 on Burns, so I'm not going to put him on a boat. But yeah, that's a bad look.
That's a bad look. I mean, those are my two big ones.
Okay. So before we get to DFS report card, do you have your original DFS lineup that you filled out last Sunday handy?
When I played it, so it's in there. Hang on.
Okay. All right. So. All right. Do.
Lineups. Okay. Yeah, I got it.
All right. So what was it? Let's see how right Capper's instincts were.
So it was Jazz killed it. Jazz murdered it.
I forgot you had Jazz.
Jazz, but then I had Louis.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, he scored 357, right?
Yeah.
So it was Jazz, Louis, Morikawa,
which worked out well today.
Today, somehow, I know. Matt Jones. Okay. Patrick Reed. Yeah, so like, it was fine. Like, whatever. Like, anybody who didn't have five or six, I mean, anybody who didn't have six or six didn't make any fucking money this week. Period. Right. Like, like 20% of the field got six or six through because that fucking cut line was plus five and 80 something golfers out of a legit 120 got in.
Yeah. I mean, like, of everyone over $8,000, only four guys didn't make the cut.
Yeah, JT, DJ.
Why don't we just get right into it? So the $10,000 range, honestly, everyone kind of stunk here.
Yep.
Rahm got a bunch of positional points today, but he only finished 24th, even though he backdoored another top 10.
Yep.
So you had Spieth at about 23% ownership. You had JT, Rahm, Rory, Bryson all around like 11 or 12, and then you had DJ under 10. So of those guys, who are you most disappointed in?
JT and DJ, both of them.
Okay.
DJ, just because it's confusing, right? It's like, man, you just, like, what's happening? Like, can you fix yourself? Like, I'm too missed. When the hell was the last time the number one golfer in the world missed the cut at the last two majors? That's crazy.
And it's right? Probably going back to Luke Donald days or something like that.
Right? Like, that's insane to think about the number one golfer in the world missing the past two cuts on majors. That's fucking nuts. And JT's just soft as dog, as puppy shit, man. That's it. Like, he's just soft. That's it.
He
stamped, approved. That's the take. It's done.
No, it is. And I got kind of pot committed early last week on JT once I saw the forecast. And then it changed. I'm like, all right. And I started to like lie to myself. I'm like, okay, if he just like Thursday didn't look so bad, if he just survived Friday, like then he can like Saturday, that's when the 63 is coming.
Yeah.
And they got the weather forecast wrong on Thursday. That was a lot worse than what they were predicting. That was brutal. And then JT just melted. And that's it. It's done. You're right. If there is wind, you don't play JT.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Anything over 15 mile per hour wins, you're done.
Yeah.
That dude can't figure it out there. Okay. He's the pampered fuck, basically, of the PGA Tour. He wants perfect conditions, and if it's not perfect, he loses his mind.
He does lose his mind quite a bit. He does throw temper tantrums quite a bit.
No, he does. And, like, it seems like, too, like, how he carries himself, like, it seems like he thinks he's Tiger Woods sometimes. He wants to be Tiger. He's never going to be Tiger. Tiger Woods don't do what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
That was, he looked miserable from the jump. He looked like he didn't want to be out there, even from the first tee.
Yeah, I think we said that earlier, like the front nine. We were like, oh, great, love the fucking body language, JT. What are you doing, man? Like,
slump shoulder, swiping at the ground like that. That wasn't great. But, I mean, anyone over 10 wasn't good. Bryson was looking like it was going to prove me wrong, and then he was awful today.
He was real bad today.
Real bad. So I have cash in a couple. I have backdoor in a couple of matchups on him.
Nice.
Which was nice. Rory stunk.
Yeah, he made me money on Friday. That's all I give a shit about.
Yeah, he made me money today. But I mean, Spieth didn't do great. DJ, yeah, I mean, they all were kind of bad. So if you skipped over this range, you did pretty good, because the next range, pretty solid. You know, you had Hovland. I mean, Hovland was good out of the gates, and then he faded. He was 26% owned. Xander, not good.
What did he end up ownership at?
23%.
See, man, it doesn't matter what that Fantasy National fucking says. Xander is always 20%.
He was popular too. I think he had like 19, like a
fantasy. Oh, was it? National. Okay.
Yeah. So he was fine. And then everybody else is under 12. He had Patrick Reed, who finished 20th in scoring. He had a good day today. Morikawa backdoor to top 10. He was 11%. Hideki was cruising and then just melted on.
Wheels fell off.
Yeah, but he still finished 27th in scoring. For 6% ownership, not good, or pretty good. And then Cantlay, serial killer, just coming out of nowhere, you know, snatching the hitchhikers out, you know. Then he was 14th in scoring, although he helped me out today, which I'll get to right at the end here when we go over how our betting cards was. And then Brooks, 3.75% second scoring.
That's the leverage point right there.
No, that really was. That was just blindly play him. So, yeah. I mean, we talk about Webb, we talk about Brooks, I don't think there's really much to go over here. We liked a lot of guys in this range, and they kind of showed up. So,
yeah.
All right, we'll move on. $8,000 range. Leading the way, my big short, Daniel Berger. Best call of the weekend.
It was. It was a great call.
God, it just like it seems like this always happens, and we need to like do a better job. Like when everybody picks this like 30-50-1 guy. And they're all like his outrights, and they all just like speak about him like he's Jesus Christ. Fade the hell out of that guy. And he was awful. Was he plus 7 on Thursday? He should have missed the cut. He had a good Friday. And he was terrible yesterday. He was terrible today.
Terrible today.
Like,
I don't even know what he finished up at.
Oh, he was like plus 4 on the day. Like the scoring conditions. The scoring conditions today were impeccably good.
Yeah.
And he was still bad.
Yeah, look what Answer did in the morning. Fucking,
I know. Yeah,
he cashed that bet for you, right?
He did.
He's the only one of the week, right?
I know. I'll take it. Exactly. I will take it. Yeah. So yeah, under 65.5 that cash. I mean, other than that though, I mean, Will Zalatoris, he was chalky at 15%, 7th in scoring. And he was good.
Yeah, he had a good day today.
Yeah, Cam Smith imploded today.
Yeah,
he was good for a little bit. He didn't go, but Finau back toward the top 10. Louis, obviously, we liked him a lot. You know, Fitzpatrick backdoor to top 10, Scotty Scheffler backdoor to top 10, Justin Rose climbed 50 spots. He was 4% owned and he did good. And then the only guy in this range that missed a cut, Tommy Fleetwood.
Like,
I'm going to let the floor is yours.
Yeah. Like, I just don't
dance on his grave.
Yeah. Like, I just don't understand why people keep going back to him. Like, it blows my mind. Like, I know it's a shtick with me. You know what I mean? Cause it is what it is, but like, I just don't understand. There's no reason to go back to him. I don't give a shit what the stat model plays. Your eyeballs tell you a different thing when you watch him play. He played once good on the Florida swing, and that's it. Everything else he has been bad at. This isn't the Tommy Fleetwood that was coming up, that was young, that was scoring, and everybody's darling, right, where he's getting close, and he just have like a bad Saturday or fade a little bit on a Sunday, and he get close. He's not even getting close. Like, it's a waste of money. He's always priced wrong because he's popular. Everybody just needs to stay away from Fleetwood.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, with Fleetwood, it seems like – Remember early in the year, we were talking about Hideki, like everybody was championing how he finished like T19. Like, oh, that's great. Like, right. Oh, you know, yeah. Good for Hideki. Like, I think, and I got sucked into this. I mean, the Fleetwood, when he finished T14 at Quail a couple weeks ago, kind of same thing. Like, oh, we just started like, oh, you know, he's coming.
Yeah.
T14 is pretty good. And then, yeah, he did what he did this week. So, yeah.
And he looked off, man. It was funny because I was watching him because he was one of the featured groups or whatever. And I was just enjoying it so much. Just like, yes, excellent. Well, double sure bogey, left and right. Yes.
Yes. And our podcast friend, Nagels Bagels, has to give you a public apology on the show.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, it is going to be awesome. All right. Under $8,000, the most popular play. Do you know who it was?
Under AK? No, I actually don't remember who it was.
Abe Answer. Mr. 65 today.
He saved everybody's bacon on that shit.
He really did because he was awful yesterday, and then he came roaring back today. Yep. So, yeah, he paid off. I mean, honestly, a lot of chalk paid off here. Corey Connors is 19%. 34th in scoring. Yeah, you'll take it.
Yep.
Joaquin Niemann, he had a tough Sunday, but 41st, you know, still did all right. Paul Casey, 14%. He finished 6th with a backdoor top 10. 15%. Sam Burns, Mr. WD.
Man. We kill a lot of lineups.
Yep. Him and Brian Harmon were the big bombs in this range. Mm-hmm. Harmon was 12%. Yeah, Harmon, I had him in a matchup against Jason Day, and Jason Day stunk so bad. And I just needed Harmon to just not bogey the last, and he did that.
Yep.
So that was good. I mean, otherwise, I mean, Keegan faded today. Yep. That was rough.
He basically only had – he had a good Thursday. He had a shitty Friday, and then – I think he went 72. Whatever, still top 20.
He did Keegan things, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie Hoffman hung on to a top 20 today. He finished 10th in scoring, actually. So that's where
that's good.
Yeah, that eagle on 16 helps.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Shane Lowry, both really high on him. He finished 8th in scoring.
And he missed the birdie on 18 from like fucking 3 feet.
Yep. Yeah. No, he did. And so Billy Horschel, 23rd in scoring. And he had a run Saturday, but I don't think he did anything today.
No, I think he had like 2 birdies today, if that.
But I mean, that's drafting scoring different than betting. It's, you know, there you go. Woodland 22nd scoring, Matt Jones 35th. Oh, Cameron Tringali. So I'm just going to talk about this.
Oh God.
So I had a Tringali or Max Homa matchup, and I wasn't very high on Max Homa, and I was right on him. Max Homa was awful this weekend. So Cameron Tringali tees off in the afternoon on Friday with a 12-shot lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he proceeds to shoot 48 on his opening 9, including taking a 10 on the par 5 16th and then a 7 on the par 5 17th. And then I think he bogeyed number 1. But then he shot 2-under after that, so he cashed the matchup. So you know what? I was going to say, I am never going to bet Cameron fucking Tringali. I probably won't anyways after what he put me through. But thanks for sucking it up and not, you know, going 2-under the last 7 holes to cash it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you even had to sweat that was hilarious. I was driving up to Georgia at that point, and you texted me. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I was one of the first people I checked.
Like, nothing mattered. If that one lost, like, I might just quit golf. Like, nothing matters at that point. Nothing matters. So, I mean, other than that, Aaron Wise, we liked him. He was under 1% owned, finished 15th. He helped me cash an 8-1 top 20 this week. Yep. Ricky Fowler, pretty good. Yep. Top 10?
Yeah, whatever.
Is Ricky back?
No.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure if he's playing Colonial this week. I don't think he is. He would. I don't think he didn't make my notables list in my column. So
yeah.
But now we'll probably see him in Memorial. I don't know.
Never know. I mean, look, something like that can propel somebody, right? Obviously, I guess he was like debating taking the invitation. He wanted to earn it, and Phil Mickelson of all people told him, "Hey, man, take the fucking invite. What are you doing? Like, take the invite. Like, come out and play." And then, yeah, man. I mean, held his own. I mean, what? I don't know. Like, I don't hate Ricky Fowler. Like, I think he's just like super popular for. He's too popular. Let's put it that way, right? Like, because he wears fancy clothes or whatever. Like, whatever. Like, so
he's wearing those. He's wearing those sunglasses this week too. I mean, he had
stupid
some sort
orange
of ad activation.
Yeah, some sort of stupid orange pants. Like, whatever, man. Like, it is what it is. Like, yeah, I would. I just, I don't know. It's the contrarian in me, man. That's all. That's go. What it is.
All right. Under $7,000. Chalk got hammered in this range. Yeah. Ryan Palmer's 9% didn't make the cut. Charles Schwartzel 8% didn't make the cut. Thomas Peters 5% didn't make the cut. Stuart Sink was the only one relatively popular who did well. You know, he was 5.6%. He made 31st. Zane Hoot, I liked him a lot. Tough Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's he got. I'll get to this in a little bit. He got caught on the bad side of the draw. Phil Mickelson under 2%.
Yeah, that's
shows that everybody knows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there's so much skill in gambling with golf, guys. Kevin Streelman, I remember referencing his name briefly in the Slack channel. I think someone asked me about Brendan Steele. I'm like, yeah. Actually, I think Kevin Streelman's kind of the poor man's Keegan. Well,
right.
That turned out to be good. Did I have anything on Streelman? Nope.
Nope.
Let's see. Oh, Harry Higgs, 0.2%, yeah. Top 10. Good for him. I randomly threw out Martin Laird's name in the DFS pod as a decent sleeper. He played well. Chan Kim coming over from Japan tour did well. 16th. Padraig Harrington, 0.2%.
I know, man. That's him and Lowry today, dude. Like I was like, oh man. I was like, I'd love to go to the 19th hole with those two after what they just did. To go have some BS with those two boys. Like, that would be fun.
Now props to him. That was pretty good. He's gonna be the Ryder Cup captain in the fall there. So yeah, it was good. He played well. Other than that, I don't really see him. Any other closer remarks? Like anything you want to tout? Anything like that? Because I have a.
We can. We'll talk about that when we do like the betting recap and shit. Like whatever.
Well, I mean, we're at the betting recap.
Oh, right. Okay. Now. All right. So. Well, before we do that, listen. WynnBET is bringing you all the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details over at wynnbet.com and download the app today. All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, shit. I mean, we kind of – I always think everybody's in Slack, but – yeah, man. I'll let you go first with because you're. I really wish I didn't sleep in that day because I really would have loved to get in on it. But go ahead and tell everybody about your Fridays and Saturday.
All right. Well, I mean, first is like a high level overview of what happened in this tournament. So if you're mad right now about your DFS lineup went to hell on Sunday, like it was looking on Saturday, all your bets did. Here's basically what happened. You picked too good. You picked really good guys coming in for three rounds. And then all the crappy golfers we all had in the morning had great optimal scoring conditions and rose up the leaderboard. And then all your guys that's in the top 10, top 20 got the worst weather conditions of the day and plummeted.
Yep.
And literally that is betting on golf.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That sums it up. And you know what? I was on the right side of that. I got very lucky today on a couple of things. I cashed a bunch of top 20s, like Aaron Wise back. Like the backdoor top 10s and 20s for me today between Lowry, Scheffler, Aaron Wise, Tony Finau backdoor to top 10. That was good. Yeah. But what I really want to talk about is – there are a lot of, and I kept saying this a bunch of times this weekend, there are a lot of ways to make money on golf and stuff for just picking winners. I mean, for God's sakes, Phil Mickelson won this week. But, like, for example, I caught a book that were hanging round to over-unders for scores. And I saw the weather forecast to be 20 or 30 miles per hour. And I just saw the previous day with 15, 20 mile per hour winds, these guys were struggling pretty bad. I'm like, well, this is going to be a disaster on Friday. And everyone was over under was 71.5. I'm like, well, there's no fucking way these guys are going to shoot under par. So I bet every single over on the day. And that went 23-6.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's some epic shit right there. That was a good run. That's the equivalent of that first half under shit that they ran for college basketball.
Basically. Yeah. And then the next day, I was like, I wonder if the books are going to kind of overreact. And sure enough, they did. On really calm scoring days, they set all the over-unders to about 72.5, 73.5. So I'm like, okay, now I think these guys are going to shoot at least even par. So I didn't bet everybody, so I just kind of picked and choose. Didn't go as good, but it went 9-4.
Yeah, it's 2-9-4. Beautiful.
I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then today was a little tricky, though. Today was, all right, I see really calm guys in the morning. I see, like, really, you know, strong wins in the evening. So I'm like, all right, in the morning, I'm just going to bet unders, pick three. You're going to pick a couple overs in the afternoon. 6-0. Nice. Thank you. Morikawa, Rory, Hovland, I'll bet we're par or better. Joaquin Niemann, Patrick Cantlay, which, by the way, he tripled the 17th. That cashed that one. And Christian Bazan, who all went over. So
nice, man.
That ended up 37-11.
Yeah, overall. I'd say that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. That covers all the crappy outrights I had.
Yeah, exactly.
It covers Ben and JT in a couple matchups. That was stupid.
Yeah.
It covers the under winning 277.5 winning score, which was
You knew that shit was dead Friday.
Yeah, that was dead. So, but you know what? It's like I said, like there are plenty of ways to make your money back in golf, especially if you have some bad bets. It's never over until the final hole drops. So,
yeah, that is the beautiful thing about gambling on golf. Like, every day is a new opportunity.
Yeah,
to bet the same tournament, and you're getting more and more data as the days go by. So your bet should become better and better and better as the days are going by.
Right, and some of these books just aren't very sharp with this stuff. Like, why on Friday on 23rd? Like, do you look at the weather report? Why are you saying everybody's going to shoot under par when no one could like the previous day? Like, the average score was +3, and you're going to say, oh, 23 mile per hour wins, these guys are going to do better?
It's because nobody's paying attention, right? We talk about it all the time. It's the same reason, like, when I used to go heavy with college football, I used to tag it, like, the games like Colby talked about, right? Because, like, these little garbage games that no one's paying attention to because the handle's low. So they hang a whatever number, whatever. I don't care because we're not going to get a lot of action on that. Let's focus on the 8 p.m. ABC game, right? I'm going to make sure that number's sharp versus fucking Florida, FIU versus whoever, right? It's the same thing with golf, right? Like, I would actually – that's something I'm going to find out before our show on Tuesday. I'm going to take a look at what the typical sports book handle is on like a major week, even a major week. Like, I wonder what it is compared to like other sports. You know what I mean?
It's probably not as much. I mean, I bet it's probably fractions of like what an NFL Sunday would be.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's like the shit.
Okay, but like even like probably NBA playoffs too.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. Let's take a look. Yeah, and we'll see all that stuff. And we'll see how much of our action is responsible for that fucking handle.
Wow. My round props definitely were responsible for a lot of action in this one book. So there you go. But I mean, listen, like, I can't complain. I didn't hit it outright, but I have a lot more money in my account than I did when I started. So yeah. Pretty good tournament. So
No outright for me either. Like I said, I grabbed, I guess it was offline, Saturday. When Phil jumped out to that lead, one of the books that we used was still hanging +450. So I hammered that real quick, but then talked to Steve later and I felt like a pussy. So I bet whatever I was going to win with Phil. So it was just like $450. I bet that on Brooks today to cancel out. No hedge life. So that was so while the Phil ticket hit, it canceled out by the Brooks loss. But yeah, I mean, obviously first round lead, that's always a great way to start the week, man. I mean, it really is. Like it's like you're, I mean, you want to talk. I'm bad anyway. So now when you give me money I was not planning on having to spend, forget about it. So I did a ton of matchups. I got Keegan, top 20. That was +280, yeah. 70, something like that. Rob did bet Rob, top 10, because we knew he was going to backdoor his way in. I missed Don Hovland and Kim. Siwoo, man, that dude killed me this week.
He ruined Fade Higo week.
I did. He absolutely did. Yeah.
I know. I mean, well, Higo did well on Thursday. And he was kind of, well, he was good today. He was bad on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But
yeah,
I had a missed cup on Higo, too. And he made the cut in the number. Nah, it's all right.
Burns killed that missed cut parlay that I wasn't even allowed to bet, but I tracked it because I'm so jealous about not being able to put bets like that in. But Burns killed that. Oh, I guess Palmer missed it too. So yeah. 2 out of 11 missed. But
well, you said Palmer was going to mess it up, and he did.
I did.
You should get partial credit.
Exactly. Exactly.
There you go.
But yeah, man, the matchups went well. You know, whatever, we do our normal in-round stuff too. Kirko.
Seems like everybody in the Slack channel is happy, so we did our job.
Yeah, absolutely. Usti over Fleetwood was a pretty easy matchup win. it was a pretty good week.
And then Capper -120 over Nagels that also Cap hit too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. He's 2. He's 0-2 in charity.
He is 0-2. He's got to stop betting with his heart, man.
Oh, well, listen, I'll take advantage of it when he wants to.
All right, I got another one from PJ. You want to move on to Colonial?
Yeah, listen, but before we do that, it's the end of the week, right? We listened to we watched the championship this weekend, trying to relax before we're going to go back to the grind on Monday. So, listen, Anytime you feel the need for that perfect cold refreshment, when you want to chill, you got to choose Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. I mean, look, just this weekend, my niece's graduation. Can't be drinking gin and tonics all day. So I went and grabbed the 16 ounces of the Coors Lights, pounded those over the weekend, enjoying some family time. It was a good time, and it's a way to be able to keep going all day. And listen, there's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. So Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Go get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. I use Instacart. It is life-changing. I love that thing. Coors Light, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly.
All right, let's go to Colonial. So, all right, so this golf course, so it was first built in 1936, and it essentially was built on a dare. So, I mean, I don't know if it was really a dare, but basically, like, this guy named Marvin Leonard, who's kind of a crazy cat. So every golf course in Texas is Bermuda. That's the natural grass there, can withstand, you know, high heat and everything. But he was so fascinated with Augusta National and, like, bank grass services that he wanted to create an all bank grass golf course in the heart of Texas. So he found someone crazy enough to do it, and he built it. And, you know, I mean, it, like everyone thought, it failed. Bent grass just can't sustain itself in hot, humid Texas heat. You know, it's 100 degrees for five straight months. And it's just it's too costly to maintain with all the water you have to put on, all the fertilizer. It didn't work. So, but I mean, so the one unique thing about this golf course is, though, it's that it's Bermuda tee to green, but it's bent grass greens, you know, you don't really see that a whole lot in Texas. Like, it's too hard to have a green, you know, greens like that. So, but I mean, so overall, though, like Colonial, it's a golf course that kind of turns back the clock. It's a classic golf course, a lot of dog legs, a lot of positional bunkers. Like, it's only 7,200 yards, but its main defenses are just like off the tee. It's kind of intimidating. Like, you know, you can't see where the hole is. You got to, you know, plod your way, you know, pick your spots and everything. And then, you know, it's one other cool thing about this, you know, tournament too is, you know, I mean, it's got a really rich tradition with Fort Worth. You know, it's their event. It's like how I consider like Travelers, like Hartford's event, like this, yeah. Fort Worth is like Colonial's event. And for a while there, it looked like it was probably gonna go by the wayside. Like, they couldn't get sponsors for this thing. Like, it was, the Crown Plaza, like, you know, invitational for a while.
God.
And then it was Dean and DeLuca. I don't even know what Dean DeLuca was, but they were sponsored.
Listen, it's probably an accounting firm. It's the PGA.
All right. Well, someone can fact check on that. But, and then it was just the Fort Worth Invitational for a year. Just like, hey, no sponsorship. And then finally, Charles Schwab, you know, the big bank, you know, they came in with all their money. And they're like, all right, we're going to sponsor this tournament. And they kind of saved it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So, I mean, and it's got a lot of good winners, you know, like Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus has won this place, you know, Phil.
Is this a Nicklaus course?
No, it's a Perry Maxwell.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So he built Southern Hills, is where the PGA is going to be next year. He built this place too.
I saw that. I saw they were pumping the ads for that already.
They did. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's something to look forward to next year. But, you know, certain, you know, some more modern winners, Sergio, Jordan Spieth, Justin Rose. So, like, heavy hitters win here. Yeah. And it's a ball strikers golf course. So you got to hit your irons well. You can't really, you know, get too loose and everything. And then the most famous part of this golf course is called the Horrible Horseshoe. It's basically it's a stretch of holes that goes around the driving range. So, and I posted a video. The guys over at No Laying Up, you know, Neil and Randy, they basically just play the Horrible Horseshoe six straight times, see what they shoot. And they have their ass kicked.
Right.
But I mean, so the third hole is this 483-yard long dogleg par three with bunkers on the left, trees right. Just a hard hole. And then the fourth hole is like a 240-yard par three, bunkers all in front. And then the fifth hole is one of the hardest holes to hit the fairway. So the fairway slopes towards the out of it slopes right to left into this little like ditch. But then you have OB, right? It just, it's like, where the hell do I put this tee shot? And like when during the return to golf last year, like they were talking about this, like guys are just missing this fairway left and right. Just it's one of the harder holes to hit. But I mean, overall though, it's just like, it's just a classic no nonsense golf course. And it's nice to see some of these things. Like it's not terribly over bunkered, but it's got the bunkers in the right places. But unfortunately, kind of what we saw last year with it. So do you remember this tournament last year? I mean, you had to. It's a return to golf, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I know Morikawa came in second. I can't remember who won.
Daniel Berger won.
Oh, Berger. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. And then Xander blew it, too. He missed a couple shorties at the end.
Here's my shock.
Oh, don't laugh. So here's one thing I noticed about it. So, like, with Colonial, we're going to get into betting strategies right now. If you want to look at like a little more detail about the golf course, the history behind, go to my article on Sports Gambling Podcast. But we're going to talk about betting strategies.
No.
And the one thing, like, what's the one thing, like, what are a couple of names that come to mind? And I'm asking you a question. Like, yeah, what are some names that come to mind when you think about Colonial? Like, it's guys who play well there.
Spieth.
Okay.
Snedeker.
Yeah.
I feel like he's playing well there.
Like Kuchar, Kisner.
Yeah, but like I know Finau's played good here, but Spieth is the name that pops out to me. He's a Texas kid. I think Spieth's probably the biggest name that pops out to me. But you said Justin Rose played good here, but I don't know when. Like I don't know.
Yeah, he won here in 2018. So here's
so he was kind of long then. He was on a short knocker.
Yeah, like Brooks finished second that year. Yeah. John Rahm played well. Bryson played well there last year. Xander played well last year. Like Berger is kind of long off the tee too. So here's what is happening to this golf course is it hasn't changed at all.
Okay.
Like they haven't moved back tee boxes because they can't. Like literally they're on the property lines of the city. There's nowhere to stretch.
There's nowhere to go. Gotcha.
And where this golf course was once upon a time, like positional accuracy, like keeping the fairway, guys were bombing over the dog legs. They just did not care where it goes. And like it used to be kind of penal to be in this rough, like it's 3-inch Bermuda, but because you can cut off so much of this golf course by just hitting over the dog legs and just then you just have like 100 yards in the greens, like this is kind of becoming bomb and gouge. So it's not to say the shorter, more accurate hitters can't fare well here. I just think we need to kind of take a different approach to doing this, because I think just like going by accuracy, precision, if you just load up on those guys, you're going to miss the boat.
Yeah.
So here's what I did. I dug into this tournament with two things in mind. What is the driving accuracy of this place in relation to the PGA Tour average? And then what's the green and regulation rate? Okay. So that kind of gives me a clue there. Like, okay, our guy is this easy to hit fairways. Our guy's, you know, hitting greens a lot. And the green and regulation thing is like, are guys scrambling more? Are they putting more?
Right.
So you find a couple things. I mean, no surprise, the driving accuracy percentage is very low here. The tour average about 60% since 2015. It's about 56% here. So guys are missing fairways a whole lot. And then the green and regulation rate, it's usually in like good scoring years, it's about tour average. But when the golf course gets a little bit of wind in it, like we're going to see this week, there's a couple of wind days, it goes down to 60. So then I took... Okay, what I just went back and looked the last 3 years. What are golf tournaments that had low percentage of guys hitting the fairway and low percentage of greens hit? And what that tells me is guys are just hitting driver a whole lot. They don't really care if it hits the fairway. And they're missing a lot of more greens than they're used to, and it's going to be more of a scramming contest. And then I came up with 8 tournaments that kind of popped up a lot.
So, okay.
Actually, nine. I apologize. On 9. And a lot of these tournaments are just something that, like, you don't think of a Colonial. Because Colonial is, like, you know, tight, like, short and everything like that. But, you know, some of the ones I'm about to mention here, it's, like, big ballpark, like, tough and everything.
Okay.
So Riviera's on the list?
Really?
That's a golf course where guys don't hit the fairway there and guys miss a lot of greens.
Yeah.
So they're used to hitting out of the rough. They're used to scrambling. TPC San Antonio, similar deal. Not hitting a whole lot of fairways because it's a little bit windy. The greens are kind of small. It's like those have raised greens, so it's tough to hit the greens in regulation. Quail Hollow, big ballpark, but that's when we just saw guys are in the rough all week and guys are missing greens, especially when it's windy. St. Louis Bay Hill, similar deal. Like the years that Bay Hill is really windy and crispy, like the years where it's like really calm, doesn't really play like it, but like windy Bay Hill. That's it. Innisbrook, which is actually one I immediately think of when I think about Colonial. They're basically the same place
for the Bell. You think so?
Yeah, they're both tight, tree line, like positional golf.
Yeah, that's true.
I think a lot of people are going to use that conference swing. Say they have TPC Southwind. Mm. That's kind of a similar deal. Torrey Pines kind of fits that like big ballpark place, but again, missing a lot of fairways and you're scrambling to get up and down. That fits. Shayshon International for the WGC HSBC, kind of similar vein too. Like just not a whole lot of fairways hit and you're missing greens. And Murfield Village. So
Murfield, who just won Murfield? Was that fucking Rahm?
Murfield was John Rahm last year and Morikawa. Mm. And I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
So you think that, like, looking at this list, like, all right, no way. Like, Quail Hollow, Colonial, Bay Hill, Torrey Pines.
Right, right.
Why don't I go over a couple big names on this list and where they did well. So, Jordan Spieth, okay? We'll start with him. Former winner of Colonial. I mentioned Innisbrook and TPC in San Antonio as kind of comps. Won there. Tony Finau, let's go to him. Well, he finished second at Riviera this year. He finished second at Torrey. Finished second at Shayshon to Xander a couple years ago. Pretty good at Murfield Village. He had a 36-hole lead there. Okay, that fits. How about Justin Rose, winner in 2018? Well, he's won Torrey. He's won Shayshon International. He's won Murfield Village. Won here. Okay, all right. How about John Rahm? Well, he won Murfield, won Torrey. You know, he does well these big ballpark, like tough golf courses where not a lot of fairways hits. He can kind of take aggressive lines off the tee. Okay. Daniel Berger won here last year. Two-time winner TPC Southwind. That works.
Hmm.
How about Corey Connors, by the way, does really well here. Well, he finished second at Bay Hill this year, and he won at TPC San Antonio.
How about that?
So you know what? I think there's something to this little list here. It's a little unconventional.
Yeah, but so we like unconventional.
So I'm going to look at, like, how they do well here. Like, you know, yeah, course for courses, but I'm going to do like, not like the you go to Data Golf and get like the like comp courses and they're going to spit out like your shorter tracks, like your Wiley's, right. Like all that stuff. And I think that's the wrong way to go here.
Okay.
I'm going to use this as a little comp, like just guys who are used to playing golf at like when you're hitting out of the rough, when you kind of are like cutting dog legs and when you got to get up and down for par a lot. You know, I'm going to use this little list. And that's what I'm going with. Now, like, just overall, like, yeah, like, good ball striker is going to do well. I think you're going to miss your fair share of greens here. Like, yeah, be able to scramble. But, like if you just want to kind of keep it simple, look at those golf courses, like, that I mentioned. Look at those leaderboards. If you want to kind of pick and choose who does well there, you know, go for it. Because, I mean, I did a similar exercise last week for the PGA. And so, like, we threw out concession. You know, Brooks did well at concession.
Yep.
Louis did well at concession. Morikawa ended up backdoor in the top 10, but he did well at concession.
Yep.
You know, Fitzpatrick was kind of up there for a little bit.
Yeah, Billy Ho.
Finau ended up backdoor in the top 10. He did well at a concession. Patrick Reed ended up backdoor in the top 10, I think. So
it's amazing to me that he backdoor.
Yeah. So that could work. I also was talking to Nagels. We mentioned AT&T Pebble Beach. That kind of also, when I did this exercise, similar to what I thought Key was going to play. This was a very Pebble Beach leaderboard. You had Woodland do well. You had Streelman. You had Koepka, Phil, Casey. Yeah. So I'm running that back again. I this was something new I tried last week. I'm going to try it this week. And I noticed after I did this, some of the comps, we're going to go with that.
All right. I like it.
Sweet. All right. Well, that's all I got for Colonial. So.
All right. Well, fuck it. So we'll dig in with our normal stuff on Tuesday night. But listen, before we go, if you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you got to check out their fantasy best ball tournaments. Are some of the best around, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, where you can win up to $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props for the MLB, NBA, and more. They also have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament as well. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN. And don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, so back to normal. No multiple shows this week, guys. I'm sure we'll still fill about 3 hours of content for you. So we'll do our DFS and betting show on Tuesday. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Boston_Capper and come check out us on the Slack channel. That's when you'll see how the sausage is made with our thoughts behind picks and kicking stuff around. And obviously go read Steve's articles so you can get the course breakdowns. He puts out, Christ, I don't know, what do you put out, like 4 articles a week, it seems like?
It's only 2 on the non-major weeks.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Whatever, go read his articles. And, great PGA Championship. Congrats, Phil, and we'll talk to you guys later.